Welcome to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I am so excited you're joining me. Each week here on the pod, we open the Bible, we talk about prayer, we explore what the Catholic Church teaches. For me, getting familiar with God's Word transformed my relationship with Him, and I want that for you too. I want you to be comfortable in the Word. I want you to be familiar with it, confident, Bible literate. I am here to help you one week at a time. Let's dive in. Welcome back to episode 3 of Psalm Summer. We've been talking through the Psalms, how to pray with them, how to enjoy them a little bit more. And today we're talking about the best love Psalms, which are, in my opinion, of some of my favorite Psalms that I go to on repeat, that have spoken to my heart throughout the years, and that I have found are kind of like background noise in my heart because I have spent more time here. Sometimes I feel a little silly going back to the same place in the Bible again and again. You're like, there's a lot more to explore there, Monica. But when I go back and it's familiar and it feels like I already know this and I'm going to repeat it, it kind of feels like I'm, you know, singing a song that I learned and I know all these songs and all their lyrics and I can sing those. And it's kind of like singing the Psalms. I mean, I'm not really singing them, but, you know, they kind of echo in my heart and they can kind of be an answer when I'm reaching out to hear the Lord. Like this familiar verse of a psalm that I already know can kind of give me something to pray with and chew on. So anyways, I thought I'd recommend to you a couple of my favorites to become your favorites too, to spend a little extra time with, do a little repeat action, visit them again and then again and then again again. So the first one of these is going to be Psalm 27. Now, none of these psalms are connected to one another. They might all have different authors. David is the main author of the Psalms, but there's different authors within Psalms. We talked about the different books of the Psalms. There's 5 books and they're organized differently, but I'm really not doing any of that. I'm really just picking Psalms that I like and that I have felt comforted by and loved by God in. And that's what we're doing. A little bit of Lexio Divina, a little bit of reflection tonight, today, to morning, whenever you're listening to this. So that's what we're going to do. First one up is Psalm 27. You'll probably know this, okay, Psalm 27. I'm just going to read it for us, and then I'm just going to tell you some of my favorite things about it. Does that sound good? And then encourage you to spend a little bit of TLC with this guy as well. This is called Triumphant Song of Confidence. It's David. David wrote it. We don't really know when. You know, David had a lot of triumphant moments of confidence in his life. So it could have been when he was, I don't know, bringing the Ark into Jerusalem, or uniting the 12 tribes, or defeating Goliath. I don't know. But here is the words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. He will hide me in his shelter on the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. My head shall be lifted up about the enemies around me. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me, answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Okay, and yeah, this is just my own personal preferences, my favorite things about this, but I love the last line. We can start there. This admonition to the heart. I love it when the Psalms do this. I don't know. I love it. When the Psalms address, like, the person, like, the author's heart. It's like the author is telling himself. They're their heart. You can be, You can be patient. You can be kind. Take courage, heart. It reminds me of Aslan in the Narnia. You know, take courage, dear heart. That's kind of the language that C.S. Lewis gives to Aslan to speak to the children. It reminds me of Francis de Sales, who, you know, gives advice to speak to your own heart tenderly and gently and say, oh no, little heart, we've messed up again. Let's try better tomorrow. You know, it's kind of feels like that language. And so here it is, this line, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. I feel like, I mean, obviously he can be speaking to another person, but I feel like I can say that to my heart, like, hey, wait for the Lord, heart, be strong, take courage, little heart, wait for the Lord. And I remember, especially in my college years, I was deep into this, what I called the theology of waiting, the idea that before God does something really powerful in your life, he makes you wait. And I, you know, was looking at the Israelites in the desert before they conquered the promised land, and the barrenness of all these mothers before they had their child that they wanted, and the 3 years that Paul spent in the desert before he did his ministry, the 40 days Jesus spent in the desert before his ministry, and all this like wasting of time that God really, I guess, allowed or even required for his people before fruitful ministry, a time of waiting. Even like the hidden years, you know, so many years of Jesus' life hidden. We don't know what's going on. 30 years before the fruit, you know, and so especially when I was single, I didn't date before I dated my husband. And so I was single for 25 years, I guess. I mean, it's silly to say that because I was, you know, wasn't going to date anybody the first year I was born. But, you know, like I was single all throughout, you know, middle school, high school, college, when I really expected to be dating somebody. And I just remember saying, wait for the Lord, like the Lord's timing. I have to be in the desert season right now because for some reason God has me here and is not letting me advance to where I want to be. And I hope he brings me out of it. So this was like a big, big thing I would tell my heart. Wait for the Lord. Take courage. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Second thing I like about this psalm is the first verse. So I really like the bookends of this verse. Sorry, of this psalm. Beginning and end. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I like that whom shall I fear because I like to track the promises of God throughout the Bible. And in my Bible, at least, I have them highlighted in orange. Any place that I can find that says like, whom shall I fear? Fear not. Don't be afraid. John Paul the Great was always big about this, saying, do not be afraid. It's kind of one of his mantras of his papacy. And I love that because, I mean, so often I'm motivated by fear. Fear of what's going to happen, or what if I don't succeed, or what does this person think of me, or what if God doesn't want me to do what I'm doing? You know, I fear. Like, I want to walk in more confidence that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that God loves me, and that I'm okay. And as a naturally confident person, this grapple with fear in my more recent life, I think in my motherhood, has been shocking to me because I used to just blatantly walk into things and be like, I'm not afraid. And now I'm like, I am afraid. So this idea of God consoling his people time and time again throughout scripture, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Whom shall I fear? I just really like any echo of that. So I clung onto that. I highlighted that in orange and I was like, yeah, whom shall I fear? Like, I've got the Lord. Nothing should make me afraid. And it kind of brings me to Psalm 23, the idea of like, in the presence of my enemies, he sets a table before me. That same type of thing down in verse 3 of the same psalm. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Like, even though in the presence of my enemies, I'm going to eat my feast. Like, the Lord gives me a delicious banquet. Am I just going to like sit and look at my enemies and say, oh my gosh, what if they attack me if I eat? I'm going to relax and rest because the Lord has set this table before me. I don't have to be afraid. I can enjoy what he has given me and I can be nourished by it and sustain myself on it and not worry. You know, I think for me personally right now, that feels like I'm pregnant and I've got a toddler. And so I can see coming for me another season, a new season that I'm not ready for. I'm not used to. I don't know how to do it. And it feels like fear and embarrassment that I'm afraid of that are like my enemies, you know, and they're with me and, you know, they're making me feel like, you know, why are you nervous about this? You should be confident, but also like, why would you be confident? You have no idea what you're doing. And, you know, just everybody gets these like bad voices in their head, these lies, these ways that the devil tries to trip us up. And in the presence of those enemies, I can eat the fruit of this good season and enjoy what I have right now. Even though I know things are going to get harder, I can just love what I have right now, you know? And I think all throughout my first year, first 2 years of being a mom without a second baby, just loving it. I have really enjoyed motherhood so far. I've been really blessed to have a really great experience and feeling like, you know, I know that when I have more kids, this will be harder. I'm privileged right now just to have this one, and it's easier and it feels sweeter. And it feels like I can do these things that, my friends who aren't not able to do right now, because I just got my one baby, I'm chilling, you know, the type of thing. I know this is very niche, but it's kind of where I'm at. And so I kind of have been feeling like I can eat, and enjoy this season in the presence of my enemies, which is like guilt that I'm not like those other moms, or fear that I'm not doing enough, or fear that everything's about to change, or, you know, anything. And I feel like we can take this same concept and use it a bunch of different ways. Like, you know, what God is doing right now is really what we should be focusing on. And if he's right now giving you a feast, eat it and enjoy it and relish in it, and don't fast or starve yourself because you're afraid that you need to ration for later. He's going to give you what you need later too. So eat what you got right now. I don't know. That's kind of where I went with that. But yeah, there's also this song. I think I've mentioned it before in the podcast, but it's called like Surrounded. This is how I fight my battles. And it's a song that more directly references Moses in the desert when the people are fighting the Amaleks and he's got his staff raised. And, you know, when we raise our hands, that's when there's victory. We raise our hands in praise. That's how we have victory. But I think the concept is the same, because though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. It's like I'm surrounded by my enemies, but my heart shall not be afraid, because I know that I'm surrounded by my God. And closer than my enemies is my God. And he's here, actually. So it's like declaring these things that I don't feel, is a big deal for me. I don't always feel it, but I can say like, my heart shall not fear. I will be confident, though a war arise against me. Even if today, it feels like sometimes during the day, a war arises against me. Like, is that toddler mom life? I don't know. Though a war arise against me today, I will be confident that I am not alone and that God sees this war I'm in and I'm going to be okay. You know, it just feels like David is writing this not because there's peace in the land. He's saying, though an enemy encamp against me and war arises against me, he's having confidence in it, not after it. I think that's really inspiring. I also really like verse 5. He will hide me in his shelter on the day of trouble. He will conceal me. I just love it. It's the idea of like a big armed dad wrapping you up and you're safe. You feel safe in there. Or Mary's mantle. Or there's another psalm. I think it's Psalm 3 that says, you are a shield about me. Like, I am pregnant, so I feel like I'm a shield about my baby, you know? And I'm like, the Lord is a shield about me. Okay, cool. And then this last piece that I really like is verse 8 and 9. Seek my face. Your face, Lord, do I seek? And it's a whole concept to seek somebody's face. You know, we don't really use that language, but to seek God's face, it really at least calls my imagery back to Moses, who wanted to see God's face. And God was not able to grant him that request because he was like, you can't handle me, buddy. But he was honored that Moses wanted to see his face. He's like, show me your glory, show me your face. And the Lord's like, well, I'll walk by you and put my hand over you and you can look at the backside of me. Like, it's kind of this funny story in the middle of, I think, Numbers. But, the Lord wasn't like, how dare you? He was like, Moses, you want to know me. Like, when I want to seek somebody's face, my daughter's doing this cute thing these days where she's holding my face in her hands and just looking at me. And I'm like, she's seeking my face. Like, she wants my face because she wants my eyes to look at her and she wants my gaze to see her. She wants me to smile at her. Like, she doesn't want me distracted. She doesn't want me on my phone. She doesn't want me talking to somebody else. She wants my face on her. And he says, seek my face. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to put both my hands on either side of your face, God, and say, look at me when I'm talking to you. And I just think there's that childlike, that Therese, that grab onto the Lord kind of mentality. And I don't know, all of it's so comforting. So this feels to me like home, like a very home comfort psalm. And I know it's kind of random, but I really, really enjoy it. The next one I wanted to share with you is 121. And it's a little bit shorter. You're like, thank goodness. No, I'm kidding. This is a song of ascents, which means it's one of the psalms that you pray when you're ascending to the city, Jerusalem. So it would have been very common, kind of mumbled maybe as they walk up towards Jerusalem. You know, imagine Jesus and his apostles saying that every time they approach Jerusalem. I believe it's every time you approach Jerusalem. It's not just like for big feast days. I could be wrong about that. I will return to this episode and correct it if I am wrong. But the idea that this is just like common, like easy, rolls off the tongue. They know it. It's like the back of their hand type of thing. I love that. Okay, so, and it's not by David, because it doesn't say it's by David, but we don't know who it's by. Here it is. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. Okay, I mean, like, it speaks obviously how nice it is. It's like, the Lord is my keeper. But, like, that is a great name for the Lord that I feel like is not the first thing we think of. We're like, Savior, Father, King, Friend. But, like, keeper feels like gardener. Like, you till me, you keep me, you protect me. Like, Adam was supposed to toil and... till and keep the garden, which was a priestly role that the people, the priests in the temple, keep the temple. And what if I keep house? It's like this idea of protecting, taking care of, attending to, knowing the needs. If I'm keeping my house, I'm aware of all the different appliances running in my house and when the laundry needs to be done and when the floors need to be swept and, you know, when my toddler needs to go down for a nap. And it's all in my mind. I'm aware of it all. And so if the Lord is keeping me, feels like all my little needs are under his care and he sees them and he tends to them. And it feels tender and intimate. And I love that it says he will not slumber. I'm like, yeah, if I go to sleep, you stay, you stay awake and you watch over me. I don't know if you're familiar with Project Hail Mary, which is like the big movie out this summer. But the alien Rocky in his alien culture, they watch each other sleep. And so it reminds me of that, like a little different than how we do, because we do not watch each other sleep. But the idea that like, I'm safe when I'm asleep, I can relax, I can let go at the end of the day. And there's this prayer that I've heard recommended to moms to pray, like, she's your baby, God. I let it go at the end of the day. You take her from here. You know, the type of thing. And so it's like, when I go to sleep, I can actually relax. When I get all stressed, I have anxiety dreams and I have hallucinating kind of dreams where I wake up and I walk around and I think I'm doing something that I'm not doing and I can't sleep. You know, it's probably pretty common, right? But for me, I'm like, sleep is the first to go. When I'm nervous, I'm not sleeping. And I just love it that the Lord, it feels like it's a personal thing to me where he's like, you can sleep. Like, you can relax. You can let go of this day because I have got it. I'm your keeper. And this is like God, the maker of the stars, telling me that he's going to watch over me when I shut my eyes. I'm just like, wow, you sure? You seem a little busy, but he's got me. I also like that he's my shade. I just love the shade. There's probably more to it in a Jewish way than I'm aware of. But when I think of shade, I'm like, that's unnecessary. Shade, I love shade. I would rather pick shade than sun. I'm not one of those girls that wants to sit out and tan. I would like to be in the shade. Thank you very much. I want to feel cool. I'm hot-blooded. But like... shade is unnecessary. I could sit out in the heat. It's not like I need the shade, but the shade is nice. The shade is optional. The shade is an extra luxury that I don't need and I'm so grateful for, and I'd always prefer it. So the Lord is not just my daily bread and my necessity. He is my comfort, and he watches out for the needs and preferences of my heart. The Lord is the cool drink of water. You know, I didn't need that. I needed water to survive. It could be hot, but he's my shade. So I just think it's like, it feels intimate in a way that it takes a step further. It's like, he's going to protect me in my sleep. He's going to be actually comforting to me in shade. He's going to make me feel like I can make it through the rest of this hot afternoon because he's covering me. You know, shade is covering. And then also shade, you know, makes you think of being overshadowed, which refers back to, you know, the glory cloud overshadowing the tabernacle and making it the presence of God back in the Old Testament. Mary is said she is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and that's when she conceives Jesus. So being in the shade of the Lord, being overshadowed, being under his wings, is also a reference to just like his protection and his power. So there's lots of good things about shade, right? So I don't know. I love this. And then last thing I love is this first line. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I used to not really care about that line because I was like, I don't know. What about the hills? But I was having kind of a crisis of identity, I guess I'd say, when I was a missionary with Damascus in the missionary program. And I was very called on by a friend who was like, you basically care what your directors think of you so much that you're making every decision not out of the missionary mindset of like obedience to them, but out of like people pleasing and wanting them to think you're an all-star and wanting them to think you're so great and idolizing them. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. But I was. And he said, where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord. So if you do the very best you can and they don't see you and they don't approve of you and they don't promote you and they don't honor you and they actually misunderstand you and they think that you did the wrong thing, even when you did the right thing, you do just look to the Lord. That's where your help comes from. And he used that line instead of any other place in scripture. So whenever I read that now, I think, where does my help come from? Who am I looking to actually secure my identity and help me? Is it that I'm looking for people's approval to say, Monica's so cool? Or am I looking to the Lord and saying, as long as you approve and you look down on this hill and approve of me, I really can be misunderstood by everybody else. It's okay. So I don't know. That's not the direct translation of that, I'm sure. But that's the way he used it to call me on. And so that's the way that in my heart it is cemented. So maybe that will unlock a new thing for you that you didn't see initially either, because that's not what the words say. So there you go. Take these two Psalms, Psalms 27, Psalm 121. Take them to heart, pray with them, enjoy them, snuggle up in bed and read them before you go to bed. And I hope that they bless you and bear fruit in your life the way that they have for me too. Next week, I think we're talking about the life of David and how they relate. His life is played out in the Psalms, so it's kind of a different angle, a little less prayer focused and a little more fun fact. So come back and join me then. Hope you're having a great summer so far. See you next week for a Psalm Summer.